Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. In these days, we're going to see a greater move of God, a foundational move of God. Those who love Him, those who serve Him. Mindsets follow faith. Every time in history, when the mindset of the people became towards God, it was because God moved according to those of faith. Those who were inspired by the Lord, they always changed opinions. Now, worldly opinions, people who love the world, when it's obvious that God is with people of faith, they always go hide. They fight as much as possible, but then they go and retreat. And the wisdom of God prevails. The question was asked in Psalms 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do they rage and the people imagine vain things? It's because they detect that the truth of God is true. And they have no wisdom against it. And when they believe they have power against it, they try to kill, steal, and destroy. But once people can't be persuaded against God, and once people overcome in the Lord, they always hide. They don't like the light, but there's nothing they can do about it. In the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," the word also says that the darkness comprehended it not. Now, when one person does X according to God's word, in society, he looks small. So the enemy will incite the weakest of the people and the most dishonorable people, whether they're religious or not, even if they're Christians, he incites them to speak against it, to kill his character. Now that's Satan's intent. And they slander people for different reasons. Some people will think because other men of God and women of God that could not do that same act or deed, or they're teaching differently than the way they were taught, they feel jealous for them. And because they didn't do it, they may see him as a charlatan or see her as a charlatan, whoever's operating according to God's will. And because somebody that they greatly respect didn't do it, they may think, well, this person's just showing off. How dare they? Because of that's the common mindset of men, the rudiments of this world, the way people are groomed, and the way people are measured, the things people expect. When you operate outside of what people respect, they respond variously. Now, sometimes their first response may be negative, but when they see that people that they know, like the lame man at the beautiful gate, when he was healed, everybody knew that he was lame, and they knew that God healed him, even though they may not have wanted to. They knew for a fact God healed this man. And there was nothing they could say against it. And the religious society couldn't speak against it. The people couldn't speak against it. He was standing and walking around and working. Nobody could say that it didn't happen. It already happened. And it was permanent. Satan hated it. So he tried to bully Peter and John and the others to stop speaking in that name and tried to threaten them. But God was with them and the church grew. Now, when God do a miracle like that, and as unpopular as it can be, those that come in are dedicated. People that want to save face and save their own life and operate according to this world, they're not going to join into something that can be ostracized. People that are low down, they want to look good. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, they want to look good and they want position. Now, people that are in power, people that are notable, they have businesses, or they may be mayors or governors, people of that people would respect. When the move of God happens, people are going to look to them to say something, and they'll feel put on the spot. Now, if their passion for God is greater than their passion for their preeminent position and their reputation, if their love for God is greater, they're going to side with God. But if they feel that their position is threatened and their fame is threatened, the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees, if they feel threatened, they'll either act like they don't know what happened or accuse it of being something not of God. Or they may try to run high so that they don't have to face it. But see, the light of God's word puts everybody in Pilate's seat and also in Herod's seat. When Jesus was before them, they had to make a decision about Jesus. Now, the mindsets that are out there are put on the spot when we live the light of God. When every time we operate in love, we love our family, we don't talk about people, we don't join in and slander others, even people that probably, you know, look the part of the slander. But we don't join in, and we do what's right, and we encourage people to let the negative things go. Forgive people that are offenders, and look to God anyway. You know, I was telling my wife just recently, you can't be a Christian when it's convenient, and then be part of the world when it's not convenient anymore. You have to let all that old stuff go, learn some new stuff, and that's important. Learn some new stuff. Learn what God is doing. The light of God's word, whether people side with it or not, overcomes the world. So those who side with God, they overcome the world just like God overcomes the world. No different. You live the light of God's word, the world is already judged. You're just an exposing. When you live in God's light, you're exposing the judgment that's already set against them. But you're showing them a way out. But they'll have to make a choice for Jesus Christ and not against him. Now the world loves its own. But when you're walking in power and authority and you're operating, you know, in the 80s and 90s, people were fascinated with power and authority. They were learning about it, and they started using it. They started practicing their authority over Satan. But without the love of God, it means nothing. Even victory means nothing without Jesus. And sometimes people want to look the part instead of being the part. But when you love God, watch this, even when you look good, even when you are victorious, you don't apologize for it. You just operate in the love of God. We are supposed to operate in unfeigned love. That is real love, not fake love. Feigned means fake. We love people genuinely, not hypocritically. Not when it's convenient, not just a false smile, but we love them deeply to the point that we pray for them and we try to help them and encourage them. We forgive them when they're wrong and bless them when they're trying to do right. And another thing that helps is never be afraid of people. When people try to bully you, don't be afraid of them. I look at people like I love them, but I'm not afraid of them. And you'll be surprised how it alters the whole dynamic of the relationship. They tried to make me get me in fear, and I wouldn't be afraid of them. And their bully tactics don't work. Just like Peter said, we can't bespeak of the name of Jesus. And they backed off. They always back off when you stand your ground. I don't have to be afraid of man. I'm not going to be afraid of man. When the gunfights used to happen, I wasn't afraid of them. And they could feel it. And I just speak what God spoke. He gave me to speak. He always gave me wisdom. In any confrontation, he gave me wisdom, and it always worked. And fights stopped, and gunfights stopped, people stopped. You know, the demons are afraid anyway. I've been in the presence of drug dealers, and I seen them tremble. A man blocked my gate, and I went to ask him to move the car, and the drug dealer, they just started trembling. The spirit is afraid of Jesus. It's not Thurston. It's Jesus with Thurston. It's Jesus with you that Satan is afraid of. You know you love God, and you know that God loves you, and they know that you love God. They don't want you to speak and run them out of town. You might cast them out. So they are afraid of what you might do. And the people, the spirit is on them, and people can sometimes feel what their spirit feel. They feel fear. They may not understand why. But when people's intentions are not perfect, the spirit that's on them is afraid of God. And they're in terror. And when you speak the name of Jesus, they run from you as in terror. In the course of your life, before it's over, if you stand your ground, you're going to see what the old preacher's talking about. It works. You don't have to compromise and soothe things over and help people stay in by the skin of their teeth. If they want to stay in God, they will stay in God. They don't want to stay in God, they're not. If we live the life of God, everybody that really loves God, they're going to rise up. It may blow their mind. They may speak negative words, but the heart is what God looks at, not the mind. We've been giving information about the mindsets of people. Even though people get saved, the mindset, it follows later. People change course in their mind over time. But the more light they see, and the more they see people operating according to God's word, no matter what, how bad they were indoctrinated, and Christians do get indoctrinated, and God loves them. But when people, indoctrination is darkness. Indoctrination is, if it's not the word of God, see, the word of God is available. When it's exposed, you either receive it or you reject it. So people, the light of God's word don't indoctrinate people. If you welcome it, it becomes a part of you by your own will. Not, it doesn't force you into something. There are no fear tactics that God uses. People that really don't trust God use fear tactics. People in pride. Pride looks within. And every time people get in pride or forms of pride or rebellion, they get in fear as well. God doesn't need fear tactics. He tell you the word, what he's going to do, you join in or you don't. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be very dangerous. He's not coming back to win souls. He's coming back to destroy the world system. And anybody that wants to, they can repent if they want to. But people who harden their heart now, God's going to harden their heart some more. As we grow in the Lord, we see things from God's point of view, and as we receive the Word of God, and that gives us the ability to operate in even more light. And the more light we walk in, the better off everything can be. It exposes to people how things can be in their lives. And we learn details even as we do warfare and we seek the Lord about how to win. Now, having authority over Satan, it gives us an advantage. That's one aspect in victory that we learn. But Satan is gonna try to tear us down emotionally with old inoperative mindsets, negative mindsets, any rebellion that's attached to our lives. We learn to undo it. We learn to undo forms of deception, the persuasion of others. All these things we learn as we receive God's word. We learn not to depend on people. We learn not to depend on people's opinions. We learn to not depend on any form of darkness. We learn to build our lives without credit. We learn to go forward and be industrious. So the light that we walk in, even though it's sometimes it's a challenging way, but we win anyway. The world is trying to stop us while we're building our lives. So when as you follow God and He's guiding you, you're going to learn things to undo what Satan has done. But what's been happening is people preach. They do their best, but they preach what they know already. But when you follow God, He always guides us to more. Now, some things He's cluing you in hopes that you will seek Him for the rest of it. You can't always have the level of victory you desire with just enough knowledge at a clue level. The clues that God gives us inspires us to seek Him more so we can finish learning and conquer whatever it is we're trying to conquer. But those kind of things we learn as we endeavor to go forward in the Lord. Sometimes what we know is not enough to attain the victory we desire, but that's not a problem. God is able to teach us and instruct us in every way of life there is. But we have to decide to follow Him. Now, He once told me when he answered a very important question for me. And I talked about this. I said, "Lord, I needed to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you just tell me then?" He said, "When a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father." So sometimes we focus too much on what we know, believe, or what we've been instructed, but it's just not enough to get the job done. But when we ask the Lord, then He can show us over time what to do. And it will accelerate our prosperity. Sometimes people are almost about to get a breakthrough. They're doing everything, and the enemy make it look like he get them to see the worst of it. And they give up. They have enough strength to continue, but there are so many people that's negative around them. And the people cause them to just give up. And sometimes they're around so many people that won't grow up. And they're doing all they can, and their children won't do right. They keep going to jail, and they have to bail them out. And everybody got their hands out. They're on the verge of running out of money, and sometime they may. And it hinders the work of God. We have to raise our children so that they'll grow up, raise their own children, and not depend on the grandparents for everything, like they're brainless. And then we can go forward. I've seen people, the Lord had things for them to do, but they kept doing their children's responsibility. And they're just in the way of their children's maturity. One lady said that the Lord told her that she's helping her daughter too much. Leave her, stop. The Lord, you know, it was time for her to just release her into God's hands and just let her. Sometimes you have to let them crash when they won't listen. God got them. They'll be all right. You pray for them. Let them hit the wall so they'll wake up and start doing what they're supposed to do. Leave them in jail a while. You bail them out, they go right back. And nobody's prospering but the judges and the lawyers. And then children, they know you love the grandchildren, and they got the children hostage so they can be sorry. I've seen all these things for years. The Lord showed me things. The kind of people I grew up around were not like that. But when I was grown, and the Lord had me working at people's houses, I saw everything. I saw all kind of stuff. A lot of things I saw, I would love to just forget about it. But the Lord showed me what was out there. And these are precious people that God loves. And He cares about them. And He wants to bless them just like He wants to bless everybody. He wants to bless those that those that don't know any better and lack knowledge, just like the people who are trying to learn. Anybody can be inspired if they want to do better. But when people rebel, that was their choice. But at least what we can do for those that want to rebel, we can show them that there is a better way and they don't have to suffer with this world. People have to learn to not trust the world so much and start trusting God. God is good, folks. He has a lot to say. His word is good. His word is blessed. And if we take Him at His word, we can prosper. We can win. We can go forward, not backwards. But God can't bless disobedience. That's one thing God is not going to do. He'll bless obedience, not rebellion. People that rebel and work wickedness, they got to reap what they've sown. Even if they get saved at the last minute, they're going to have a lot. They're going to go to heaven with great regrets because they're going to realize what they could have done if they would have. Now, mindsets is everybody's challenge. It's the reason that it's easy for our hearts to be renewed is because Jesus did it for us. He gave us a brand new heart. But the mindset, we have to learn to have the mind of Christ. Which if we do, we're going to prosper good. It's going to be good. We can do anything. But as we live in the light, we can expose the darkness for what it is and help people see that there really is a greater way to do everything. And God will be right there with us. I listened to Jennison Franklin last night. And he is a blessing. He talked about how the Lord had Isaiah to stay in the land of Gerar. Everywhere he went, every time he dug a well, he was on the dry land. They come and take the well. And he ended up prospering in a dry ground. Because he obeyed God. And God caused him to prosper. Well, no man really should have prospered. He didn't have to go and buy lottery tickets. He was blessed because he loved God. He was faithful to what God had given him to do. He was faithful to the anointing God gave him. He was a prophet. He was obedient to his father. And the Lord had responsibility to bless him. You can have the same thing. Whatever God wants you to do, there is a way for you to prosper and be industrious. But being lazy is not an option. If we're going to be lazy, it's not going to work right. Laziness is not something that God can help you with. You got to come out of that. Laziness is also worldly. Laziness is a death. When the Lord was giving me different That was a season he gave me many definitions. And so these are simple words we always use, but since the Lord was giving me other good definitions, and I wrote about it, it's called Definitions. It's on the New Living Letters. It's on this website. It's on the Living Letter page. Now, and it gave me so much clarity in the words that we daily use. And one of them was laziness. I said, well, Lord, out of curiosity, I learned to ask the Lord questions just to see what he'll say, because when we lean our own ways, we can't learn his ways. But sometimes if you ask him, even things you believe and know about, or you feel good and you feel like you know about it, if you ask the Lord a question, he can answer you and give you greater insight. Well, I asked him about laziness. I said, what's the definition of laziness? He said, laziness is a death. It brings death, weakness, sorrow to everything. And even though it infiltrates others. See, the people around us, if they become lazy, then they play on your sympathy, and you end up doing what they're supposed to be doing instead of what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I learned something from the Lord a long time ago. I began to learn it, and I still learn some things. And when they do things and they won't change, you try to help them do better. You have to use the wisdom of God to not let what they're doing interfere at all with what you're doing. You have to find a way to blockade them from hindering what you have to do for God. But preacher, that's not sympathy. God, they don't need me to do that job. A grown man, a hairy, strong, grown man don't need me to go out and do his work and feed his family. God says, you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And that's true. Eventually, if you let people starve, they'll get up and do something. I've never seen a person sit there and starve to death. They do something. And they need to be doing something. Even our children, if they keep asking for handouts and won't go to work, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. Even babies, they're born with an umbilical cord. But when it's time for them to breathe on their own, the doctor cuts it. He don't need it anymore. So we need to go forward in the Lord and seek his face, because he has so many good things to say to us. He has so many wonderful things. There's so many wonderful things we can do if we only will. As we follow God, as we take time to learn, we learn how to be appropriate in every situation. There is a way to do what you have to do. There's a way to help people do better and better. But there are some, they won't follow God. They have no intentions of taking God at his word and learning responsibility. And sometimes Christians may act like that. But when, you know, every individual, people are different. I don't like to just tell people what to do. That's a God question. That's, you know, the Proverbs talk about not being surety for people, which is the same as cosigning and saying that you're going to do something, you know, such as cosigning. It warns not to be surety for people. They don't need you to do that. But the Lord will show you when it's wise to do whatever you're going to do and when it's not wise. Because learning to walk requires effort. And as you begin to do it, your muscles grow. All right? Just like your leg muscles grow because you're using them. But when people sit down and I noticed that people, when they decide to be lazy, they get real good and skilled at getting other people to do what they're supposed to be doing. It's weird. They get people to do what they're supposed to be doing, and they know how to act so nice and polite. They know how to act. They know how to persuade people. And healthy people around them just do everything they ask them to do. And they sit there all day delegating. But their muscles are dying, getting weaker, because laziness is a death. And when people act like that, you have to decide, what are you going to do? Now, the Lord knows He loves them. So whatever counsel God gives you, it's going to work. Now, when we ask the Lord for something and believe His promises, we speak it. So when I have to do something I'm not used to, it may not quite be in my heart to do what God is saying to do. So I speak it by faith. Everything I'm going to do, I speak it. I speak it by faith to condition myself to do what needs to be done. And then it works. In business, I have to make a deal all the time. When I give people the price, what I will do for and what I will not do it for. And I have to make deals all the time. I'm used to it. And it wasn't easy for me to learn, but the Lord helped me learn it. Now,